Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
The first remembrance this week is for Bill Ackman, the hedge fund manager who is called to punish the brave Harvard students who signed a declaration blaming Israel for the recent violence in their country. After 34 student groups signed on to the pro-Hamas declaration, the founder and CEO of Pershing Square Capital Management demanded to see the membership rolls of those organizations and has asked other billionaires and business owners to pledge to never hire a Harvard student who is on the list. Now look, let's be honest for a moment. We really admire his methods here. Creating lists of people who have said things you oppose and then finding ways to use economic leverage to threaten them into repentance and silence so that everyone else starts to self-censor their expressions? Of course we agree with this tactic. It's one of our favorites. You think we learn nothing from St. Stalin of Georgia? But just as obviously, the problem here is that Ackman is using his filthy capitalist wealth as economic leverage against the good guys, good gals, and good none of the aboves at Harvard. Obviously, punishing people into silence is a good thing, as long as what they're saying is a bad thing. It's just not fair for Ackman to use this noble strategy of speech suppression and accountability against our own people. Imagine what could happen next. If he's allowed to punish progressives, well, pro-life companies might threaten pro-choicers, and violence-loving executives might threaten gun control advocates, and if we really go down this path where anyone can use economic bullying against those they disagree with, the real danger is people might realize that's no way to run a country, which could literally lead to the unthinkable. A society in which we restore the idea of tolerance and stop punishing people for their beliefs at all. Can you imagine an America in which we listen to those we disagree with and learn to get along with them regardless of their beliefs? Where we boycott no one and deplatform nobody? Where ideas are judged on their merits in the marketplace of ideas and nobody's thumb is on the scale? Our doctrines stand no chance in that crazy town. No, our truths need social coercion to stay on top. So, before this gets out of hand, stop the madness now and expel Bill Ackman from the congregation of the wokeful. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, glitter. As most of you by now surely have heard, the European Union is making loose glitter and microbeads illegal starting next Tuesday when phase one of a microplastics eradication program goes into effect. Eventually, the EU plans to prevent 500,000 tons of microplastics from contaminating our beautiful planet over the next 20 years in everything from cosmetics to detergents and fabric softeners, from automobile paint to artificial infill turf. We certainly support this effort to protect our waterways and marine life from the horrible effects of microplastics, but we do recognize the suffering that will be caused by a complete cessation of glitter production and consumption. And since so many of the world's people with alternate glitter styles are usually on our side, it's a hard thing to ask them to go cold semi-gloss instead. Consider for a moment the impact this will have on greeting cards, birthday parties, cheerleaders and football booster moms, prom queens, grade school art projects, fairy cosplayers, and beauty pageant contestants. I mean, this could seriously impact attendees at Coachella, Burning Man, not to mention sex workers, drag queens, New Year's Eve revelers, exotic dancers, porn stars, and David Bowie fans everywhere. There's one possible cultural upside to this, however. Banning glitter may not completely stop gender reveal parties, but it will somewhat hinder the cisgender oppression they perpetrate upon the whatever it is in the womb and help stop the artificial imposition of a binary identity upon the unsuspecting and naturally gender fluid not yet a person. But surely de-shinying the glitterati of the world is a small pain to pay for the knowledge that we are saving our dear Gaia one tiny piece of aluminum metallized polyethylene terephthalate at a time. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to celebrate the phenomenal work being done by Rachel Martin at NPR, whose recent article on her own struggles with climate grief finally gave words to the collective pain we all feel as we watch our planet burn and freeze and be dry and be wet. Literally everything we see, even the apparently mild days, are just more proof that we are careening toward a climate apocalypse the likes of which even Archbishop Thunberg herself can scarcely imagine. Finally, there is a word for the zeitgeist of anguish we're all feeling, but lucky for us, some wonderful envirotherapists have set up a website to help us process our pain. ClimateGrief.org has 12 steps to help us work through our eco-anxiety, such as step 1, accept the severity of our predicament. Step 3, practice sitting with uncertainty. Step 5, let yourself feel all your feelings. Step 8, take breaks and rest. And step 9, express gratitude, for instance, by hugging a big sappy tree. The webmasters at ClimateGrief.org also have very thoughtfully placed the phone number for the National Suicide Hotline at the bottom of every webpage. So considerate. As Rachel Martin so poignantly showed in her article, the dread of our pending environmental annihilation has made it difficult for many of us to enjoy the simple pleasures anymore. Sitting by a river, thinking about a cashless society, staring at the stars and imagining a world without police or Republicans, trying to get someone banned on Instagram, refusing to shave in solidarity with our wool mine folk, protesting at a coal plant or a pet store or a non-union construction site. All the simple joys seem to have just lost their savor. But now that we know our extinction apprehension depression syndrome is really just a manifestation of climate grief, at least we have a word for it, and we all know that words have power. So sit with your uncertainty, feel your feelings, and share the collective burden of climate grief with one another. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
As you depart today, please remember to keep Angelina Fredrickson in your mantras as she is still recovering from 3 level 1 sexual microaggressions this week. It all started when a coworker told her that her hair looked nice. I know, but it gets worse. Then a complete stranger asked if she needed any help carrying her 12 reusable grocery bags. And finally, a waiter actually said to her after presenting her with the bill, "Thank you for coming in tonight. We hope you come back again soon, ma'am." How dare he presume to know her preferred gender identity? I mean, it happens to be female with she, her, hers pronouns, but she was bedridden for a week. And he didn't certainly know that, and it could have been otherwise. And my goodness, the doctors don't think the prognosis is very good. Refreshments this week are provided by Arts and Farts, the Advanced Methane Gas Recapture Candy Factory, located down by the free-range, no-antibiotic dairy farms on the north side. We know the flavors take some getting used to, but once you realize how much greener the world is because you're sucking on some flatulence taffy or breaking wind jawbreakers, you'll start to enjoy the distinctively combustible flavor. Paired with a nice chicory and carob coffee, you just can't go wrong.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.